What a blessing to be able to sing praises together. You all sound beautiful this morning. End of that song, instruments cut out, just hearing everyone's voices, it's beautiful. Well, it is Mother's Day, and it's interesting that in Washington State in particular, there's a lot of discussion and talk of Mother Nature, isn't there? Maybe it's a Pacific Northwest thing in general, but definitely up here, there's a variety of laws and restrictions protecting Mother Nature, protecting the nature that is around us. There are numerous regulations about what happens with the water and the rivers and rain runoff and the shorelines, all of these things. There's air quality restrictions with regard to what's allowed to be burned, emission regulations with vehicles, any other kind of activity that might emit toxic gases, solid waste disposal, fish and wildlife protection, forest practices, land use, growth management, all of these things, so many other things that I don't even know about that people will refer to affectionately as Mother Nature. It's different in Texas. We have different laws in that there's fewer. But there's a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of thought, a lot of intentionality, and lots of money that goes into protecting, preserving, and promoting Mother Nature. People will literally chain themselves to trees in order to save them, yet they'll abandon guarding and protecting God's design for the family. So this morning, we need to talk about a different kind of Mother Nature. It isn't the one that has to do with our planet or nature around us. Well, we could talk all day about our planet, and I know many of you would probably like and enjoy doing that. We can do that another time. We have a much more pressing issue on this, the Day of Mothers. We need to investigate what the scriptures have to say about Mother Nature. And no, not God's beautiful creation all around us, but instead the beauty and the reality of the institution of motherhood, Mother Nature. God is the one who created motherhood. And so naturally, he has quite a bit to say about it. In Genesis 2, God established the family unit, beginning with the husband and wife. And a couple chapters later, the birth of the first children takes place. And throughout Scripture, we see various sides of human mother nature. So this morning, we'll look at a variety of passages that explain the two opposing sides of mother nature. Two opposing sides of mother nature. If you're taking your notes this morning, those are going to be your outline for this morning. We're going to see first, original Mother Nature, and then we will see second, renewed Mother Nature. So first, original Mother Nature. Original Mother Nature. This is the nature of mothers. We already mentioned the reality that God instituted the family unit in the early part of Genesis. Turn with me in your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 3, if you will. Genesis chapter 3. In verse 20, toward the very end of the chapter, there's a beautiful explanation of the name of the first woman created by God. It says this in Genesis 3:20. Now the man named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. Eve, the mother of all the living. We've all descended from our first mother, Eve. We all have the attributes of humanity given to us by God, specific traits and personhood by our Heavenly Father that are granted ultimately through our first parents, Adam and Eve. And as we look at original motherhood, there's some specific traits that need to be drawn out in order to understand original motherhood properly. The first trait of original motherhood is that it is sinful. Original motherhood is sinful. Mother nature, your original mother nature, is sinful. The profound reality and really the beauty of verse 20, you read that, and it's a precious verse. Eve is the mother of all the living, but it comes at the very end of a sobering and catastrophic chapter in Scripture. Now, there have been many catastrophic events throughout the history of the world. We could go back and list out many of them. I recently read about one that happened back in 1986 while testing turbines and cooling pumps, operators disabled safety systems at a nuclear power plant. In doing so, the system failed disastrously, causing a massive power strike that led to multiple explosions throughout the plant. This exposed the reactor's core, which allowed radioactive particles to launch into the atmosphere and spread across large portions of Europe. Many of you know this as Chernobyl. An entire town was permanently evacuated within hours. Schools left with books still on the desk. Apartments left fully furnished. Even an unfinished amusement park was completely abandoned, this town frozen in time. What's worse, the numerous deaths as a result, there were immediately about 30 to 50 who died, but then in the weeks and months to come, thousands and thousands of other due to radioactive poisoning and the development of cancer. The widespread effects have had long-term and catastrophic results. The city still remains completely uninhabited 40 years later to this day. But even Chernobyl, in its long-term horror, cannot compare to the catastrophic record of Genesis 3 and the absolute long-lasting effects of what took place. We're seeing what began the reality of original Mother Nature for the rest of humanity in the original sin of Adam and Eve. So if you're still there in chapter 3, back up to verse 1 and follow along as I read through verse 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Here we have the most catastrophic event in human history. This single event has plagued humanity now for thousands of years from the beginning as we have dealt with the effects of sin. What follows those seven verses are the curses from God on humanity and the serpent because of sin, the curses that have resulted in much difficulty for humanity and, yes, for all mothers. The original nature of mothers is now one that is steeped in sin, governed by selfishness, and constantly cultivating corruption. Sin has inundated all of humanity from the very start, all the way to the very core of who we are. This is the reality, not just for mothers, but for all of us. Psalm 58:3 explains, "The wicked have turned away from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth." The very beginning of our lives, from the start, we enter into this world and there is corruption and wickedness in our hearts. No one has to teach a child how to be selfish, right? That's not included in any parenting classes. No mom sits down with her child and says, "All right, today I'm going to teach you how to be greedy and when to hit your sister." That just doesn't happen. You don't need to do that. That's built in. Humanity is born with these things built into our hearts. Genesis 8:21, God says, "The intent of man's heart is evil from his youth." And if those verses aren't enough to convince you, let me hit you with a few more. Here we go. Ephesians 2:1, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." Romans 3:10 to 12, "There's none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There's none who does good. There's not even one." Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." 1 Kings 8:46, "There is no man who does not sin." Psalm 51:5, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Ecclesiastes 9:3, "The hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives." We could go on. There's more. The point here is very clear throughout Scripture is that humanity is utterly and originally, first and foremost, intrinsically sinful. And this applies to motherhood. The original mother nature is marked and marred by sin. And moms, that means you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. You're going to struggle with what you want and when you want it. You're going to struggle with times when people get in the way of the wants that you want and become obstacles in your life. This means that you don't always respond with the greatest patience and kindness. It means you don't always demonstrate care for those around you in the way that you should. This means you're going to fall short of perfect motherhood. It means you're going to fail even when you think you might be doing really well. But the even more terrifying reality of this is that original mother nature in sin is deserving, as we all are, of absolute judgment from the Lord because of that sin. It's no small judgment. God says the wages of sin is death. Death on this earth, everlasting spiritual separation from his goodness as well. Now, I know what you're thinking, some of you. You're thinking, well, happy Mother's Day to me. So glad I got up and came to church today. What a precious way to start my morning. You're thinking that right now, but don't worry. There's good news coming. But not yet. Because not only is original Mother Nature sinful, it also thinks wrongly. It thinks wrongly. The impact of sin on humanity has affected not only our spiritual relationship with the Lord, separating us from him, but it also has had a devastating impact on our minds so that we don't think the way that we ought to think. Scripture describes the futility of our minds being darkened in understanding because of sin. The sinful mind is one that is foolish. It's set on the flesh. It is set on what we want, our own desires. Jeremiah 17:9, famous passage, describes this. The heart is deceitful. It is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? It's deceitful, desperately sick. The mind of all humanity has been tragically impacted by the effects of sin. And this has happened to such a degree that our very thinking is corrupted. We often believe we're thinking clearly when we're actually deceiving ourselves. This reality impacts original Mother Nature. Mothers, you're going to struggle with your thinking at times. You're often going to think of situations wrongly. You're going to misjudge other people. You're regularly going to talk yourself into doing something that is the wrong thing, but your heart's going to convince you that you're doing the right thing. This reality has a tremendous impact on the people around you. It impacts your own personal life, but also your family, your friends, your community. It is significant to think of the damage that can be done with just one wrong thought applied to a situation. Suddenly a child's heart is crushed, or a husband's feelings are trampled. The original mother nature we're looking at can have a devastating impact around her. We've all been there. You're exhausted. Your kid spills something again. Suddenly, a harsh, sharp, painful word comes flying out. Or words. And what took maybe just a couple of seconds to clean up, those words may take years and echo in their minds. All because original Mother Nature thinks wrongly. Original Mother Nature is sinful, it thinks wrongly. Last, it is flippant. It's flippant. Original Mother Nature is unsure of exactly how to do what is supposed to be done in life. Therefore, it results to popular opinions and the ideas of other people and a variety of things culture has found to, quote unquote, work. These are different parenting methods, different family structures, different plans. So many moms are fed up and unsure and confused and frustrated about what they're supposed to be doing. And as a result, they're left wanting some solution for the difficulty of motherhood. So original motherhood becomes flippant, grasping at the straws of the world to try to fix what's going on, to try to find these solutions. And it often becomes exactly the opposite of what Paul says in Colossians 2:8. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Scripture speaks numerous times of the wisdom of the world actually being nothing more than foolishness cloaked in convincing words. We won't turn there, but you can look at the end of Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 10. There's so many passages that describe the world's solutions to our many problems as empty foolishness. So many run to and fro, from idea to idea, just trying to figure something out that will work. And if we were to run through the various philosophies and thoughts for moms that are flying around out there, we would be here all day long. The internet is full of the millions of different ways the world thinks you should be doing things. This kind of living is flippant. It's fruitless. You jump from one thing to the next, and it doesn't work. You may have picked up that these truths don't just apply to moms, do they? All of us in here are born in sin. All of us are impacted by the effects of sin on our minds, and all of us are susceptible to the foolish waves of the world that might push us around with different ideologies and thinking. The seriousness of sin in all of our lives has distorted who we're meant to be. Sin has distorted motherhood, and it has distorted all of humanity. Sin has so drastically distorted motherhood that many moms turn children into idols. All of life is wrapped up in their kids. The home becomes completely child-centered to the detriment of the mother's spiritual life. Other moms struggle with absolute control. What should be parental guidance and counsel and raising kids in the discipline and instruction of the Lord turns into domineering dictation of all of life. Fall in line or else. On the opposite end of the spectrum, other homes are plagued with the neglect of lazy motherhood, caring only for herself rather than the family. And the list could go on and on, couldn't it? Each of these areas where motherhood has been so distorted, so also each and every one of us face the potential to fall short in these areas as well. So some questions to consider, for all of us to consider, is your life characterized by wrong thinking or by thinking that is based on truth? How can you grow in this area to think rightly? Examine your life. What worldly philosophies have you maybe adopted that influence your day-to-day life? How can you combat those with the truths of Scripture? We need to ask these questions of ourselves. And needless to say, considering original Mother Nature, it leaves us in a pretty bleak state, right? But we don't need to stop there this morning. We don't need to walk away discouraged or helpless or hopeless. There's a beautiful reality that we're not left helpless and hopeless by the Lord, are we? We don't have to settle for being this way. We don't have to settle for original Mother Nature, or all of us for original human nature. And that's because that original Mother Nature can be renewed. It can be renewed. There is real hope found in Jesus Christ in renewed Mother Nature. The damage done by a heart of sin can be completely transformed and renewed into something beautiful. That which has been tainted and distorted by sin can be renewed and restored by grace. Amen? The grace of God restores and renews the brokenness of life. That's what he is all about. That is the work that he does in sinful humanity. Any moms who are struggling under the weight and difficulty of their sin find free and full forgiveness, restoration, renewal, growth, and salvation in Jesus Christ. By grace, through faith, Christ offers a life that is cleansed from sin and renewed in living. Some of you here are facing some serious mom guilt. You look at your life, maybe at times all you can see is the areas that you fell short. And you know what? Maybe you have. Because we all do. Christ offers life that is cleansed from sin. You may be beat down and discouraged. It is Christ who has said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Your guilt, your struggle, your fight with sin should drive you to Christ for the forgiveness that he offers. Whether you believed in Christ before or you have never believed in him, if you come to him today in faith, he alone can lift those weights, remove those burdens, and point you through his word to the direction of a renewed life and renewed motherhood. The traits of renewed motherhood, of renewed Mother Nature, are completely different from original Mother Nature. First, renewed Mother Nature recognizes her redemption. This renewed life realizes the incredible need for Christ as Savior and runs to him in faith. Titus 2:14 describes Jesus who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Through Christ's redemption, Mother Nature is renewed, it is purified and characterized now by those who are zealous for good deeds. It's no longer characterized by wrong thinking, wrong desires, wrong actions. It is a life transformed by the glory of God and the benefit of his people. It's no longer motherhood that is defined by motherhood. You aren't defined by who you are as a mom or not a mom. That's not your identity. Your shortcomings don't identify you. Your worst failures do not define you. You are a child of the King. Your identity is not primarily in your motherhood. Your identity is in Christ if you are redeemed by him. Amen? Your satisfaction is found in him. You have renewed Mother Nature. Transformed into a new nature that can honor the Lord. What was once a life enslaved to sin can now be a motherhood for the glory of God. A renewed mom is a redeemed mom, bought back from the bondage of sin and now wonderfully motivated by the glory of God. We saw earlier that original Mother Nature is characterized by wrong thinking, but renewed Mother Nature reasons rightly. Renewed Mother Nature reasons rightly. There is a new heart, a new mind that is granted through redemption in Christ Jesus. And that new mind can now start to think accurately about life. It can start thinking rightly about living. It's what Ephesians 4:23 describes as being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind is no longer enslaved to sinful and selfish thinking. Instead, you think righteously, which is then going to overflow into righteous living. The passage continues there in Ephesians 4 to describe putting on the new self that is created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You're a completely new person if you are in Christ. It's what we see in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Renewed Mother Nature can think righteously because of the transformation brought by the Spirit of God that makes you a new creature. A new creature. The old is gone, and behold, new things have come. Third, renewed Mother Nature raises kids rightly. Renewed Mother Nature raises kids rightly. Because of this transformation of your heart and life, there can now be an obedience to God's word in raising kids according to what he has said. God's word is filled with instructions on how to raise children. There's a profound emphasis on teaching, on instructing them. It's one of the primary responsibilities of all parents. Ephesians 6 describes bringing up children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 describes the regular instruction of children in daily life. Verses 6 through 8, these words, which I'm commanding you today, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It's all about instructing children in the truths of God's word. All throughout life, sitting down, rising up, walking by the way, whatever you're doing, you're pointing them to truth. You're pointing them to Christ. Original Mother Nature couldn't care less about teaching children God's word. Right? It's all about comfort. It's all about just making it through the day. But those who have been transformed by it will live lives that are overflowing with the truths of Scripture. It'll want to be imparted to the children. Moms, teach and discipline your kids. Grandparents, teach your grandkids. Don't just let them get away with everything. Right? Lenient parenting produces entitled, selfish, and disrespectful children. And that's not just my opinion, okay? That's Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Spoiled kids bring shame to their parents. They demand what they want, they speak disrespectfully, they throw fits until parents finally cave. Many parents spare discipline, thinking their gentle tolerance is loving, but God's word is really clear that the opposite is true. Proverbs 13:24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. There's a correction that is going to come. There's going to be instruction that is given on how to live life rightly. Be diligent about bringing your kids up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is a great privilege. This is a great responsibility. And moms have a profound opportunity to influence children for the glory of God in a way that few other relationships on earth can. Think of the Apostle Paul's companion, Timothy, one of the greatest men of God in Scripture. He was largely this way because of the faithful teaching of the women in his life. Paul explains in 2 Timothy 3:15 that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. How did Timothy know the Scriptures from childhood? How is that possible? How did he know this? Get a glimpse into it. His childhood, 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice." Timothy's childhood was replete with scripture because of the sincere faith of his mother and grandmother and the influence that they had in his life. These women had no idea the profound impact that they were going to have on the early church. It's incredible. Timothy had a huge impact largely because of these women in his life. He was an active missionary with the Apostle Paul, traveling around with him, preaching the gospel. He was later the pastor of the church of Ephesus. Listen, the impact of renewed motherhood on the hearts and lives of children can be profound. You could be raising a great evangelist in the future, a great servant within the church, a great missionary to take the gospel where it's never gone before. The Lord may use your motherhood in a profound way for his kingdom. Proverbs 31, 26, and 28 describe this kind of faithful, purposeful mothering. It says, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Teaching of kindness is on her tongue. There's intentional instruction taking place in the home. This is the mom who is pouring out the truths of Scripture like Lois and Eunice with Timothy. Throughout Proverbs, there's the consistent warning for children, the admonition for kids to hear and heed their mother's instruction. They aren't to turn away from it. They aren't to despise it or neglect it. They're to listen to the instruction of their mothers, to honor them, and to walk in the wisdom passed down from their mothers. That's the command of Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, is it not? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Kids, where are you this morning? Raise your hand. Kids, raise your hand. There you are. Raise them. I see you. Okay. All right. Listen up. Pay attention. This is a big deal. This is important. You need to be honoring and obeying your mothers. Do you understand? This is a command from God. Honor and obey your mothers. We understand the word obey pretty well, right? It's like, just do what she says. For crying out loud, please, just do it, all right? Now, the word honor is a little bit more confusing and unknown to many kids. What does it mean to honor your mom? The word, the root of the word, has to do with value. It's recognizing the value of something and giving appropriate respect and reverence. Kids, recognize the value of your moms. Kids, I know you often struggle with this, all right? I know it's a lot easier for you to get frustrated with your mom or get angry with your mom. You don't like authority. You don't like being told what to do. This is a significant command, and this isn't just a command in the New Testament. No, when Paul gives this command, he's quoting the Ten Commandments. Back in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. God is serious about this, kids. This is a big deal. Honor and obey your moms. This is not something to brush off or think lightly of. You're called to honor your mothers. We have this day once a year where there's some intentional thought that's put into like, oh yeah, honor my mom, do something nice. This is something that should be ongoing. This is a ongoing, continuous command that should characterize all of your interactions with your mothers. Children, honor your mothers. You need to be thinking through, how can I do that, not just today, but how can I do that moving forward in the way that I speak to her, in the way that I interact with her, in the way that I talk to her. This is a way for you to honor the Lord, or a way that you're going to dishonor the Lord if you're not honoring your mom. And this isn't just for little kids either. Adults, we may no longer be under the authority of our parents, but we're still called to honor them. So examine your interactions with your mom. Are they characterized by an honor for her as your mother, or is there a general attitude of disrespect? And this may be difficult for you. Maybe your mom isn't a believer. Maybe your mom hasn't always been the greatest growing up, or done the best things, or made the best choices. Maybe she still isn't. There's no contingency on this command, is there? I don't see it. We're to honor our mothers. Renewed mothers are going to raise kids rightly because that mother has been transformed by Christ through the power of his word. So her life is going to be shaped by God's word. She is going to overflow God's word onto her kids. Renewed motherhood transforms children through the power of God's word. So renewed motherhood, renewed mother nature recognizes her redemption, reasons righteously, raises kids rightly, and finally, renewed motherhood repents regularly. Renewed motherhood repents regularly. There's a significant reality to come to grips with here, moms. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. But so long as you continue to live on in the flesh, you are going to struggle with sin. This isn't a surprise to you. It shouldn't be discouragement. You should expect that you are going to fall short at times. It is not a matter of if you fail, but when you fail. That's just the reality of life. It's part of being human and living in a sinful world. What matters is what happens when you do. The beauty for those who are in Christ is that he continues to forgive. He continues to forgive. Praise God that it's not at the moment of salvation he forgives you and then you better be perfect after that. No, he continues to forgive. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christ freely forgives and then continues to work in you to bring about growth, to bring about change. When you sin against your kids, confess it and ask for forgiveness. Tell your kids that you are sorry regularly. Your kids need to see this modeled for them. Your kids need to see modeled Christ-like humility that hates sin, even in your own heart, and so you're going to acknowledge it when it's there. You're going to confess it. This is one of the most practical ways to point your kids to Christ when they see, oh, wait a minute, mom and dad need Jesus too. You aren't perfect. You know you're not perfect, and your kids know you're not perfect. Many moms think they can talk their way out of their kids seeing fault in them, and that's just not true. Kids are not dumb. They're pretty smart. They see mistakes. They recognize sin. Oftentimes that sin is directly toward them. And it's prideful and hypocritical of us as parents when we're so quick to call out their sin, but so slow to repent of our own. So be quick to say you're sorry. Be quick to pray prayers of repentance with your kids. Despite the reality and the hope of renewed mother nature, many still revert back to the same foolish practices. Many still live in patterns of sin that are harmful to themselves and those around them. Many still give in to foolish and deceptive thinking that lead to much difficulty in life or cling to the foolish wisdom of the world to try to fix their problems. Examine these areas of your life. We all need to, not just the moms, not just the grandmothers. Examine, are you living this way? Are you living out a renewed life in Christ? Do you find your true identity in him and in nothing else? What do you need to do to cultivate this habit of repentance, regular repentance? Some of you probably sinned this morning on the way here. Get in the car on the way home and ask for forgiveness. A renewed mother nature is one that recognizes her redemption, reasons righteously, raises kids rightly, and repents regularly. These are characteristics that should be in all of us, should describe all of us. And I want to acknowledge this morning that for many of you, this might be a particularly difficult day. Today might remind you of loss that you have experienced. Maybe you really want kids, but for whatever reason, the Lord has not granted them to you yet. Maybe some other situation you may be in, you may be looking back at kids raised and you wished you had done things differently. There's grace in Christ. And whatever your situation may be, the Lord and his goodness and kindness can be trusted, and everyone has the opportunity here to be a spiritual parent. This is a necessity within the church. You can be spiritual moms to others even if the Lord has not blessed you with children of your own. This kind of relationship is described in Titus chapter 2 with those in the church. Titus 2, 3 through 5 says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Whether you're a mom or not, you should be a spiritual mom within the church, caring for the young women here. It's needed. It's needed. Some of you have had the blessing, as I have, of having had many spiritual moms to come alongside you and encourage you, to help you grow in your walk with Christ, to love on you and to care for you. Be that. Be that for others. Ladies, you have a privilege, an opportunity, you might say a responsibility, to be spiritual moms to the young women in the church. Help them to see what it looks like to faithfully walk with Christ. This is a tremendous blessing for the church. Faithful women, listen, faithful women in the church don't just raise children, they raise faithful generations of children. We've been talking about what a model church looks like for months now. May our church be a church that is filled with model mothers and spiritual mothers who bring about growth and edification for many, many people in our church and our community. Mothers, may the Lord bless you and your family today. May you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a grace that you have given to us. The institution of the family is something that you have beautifully and wonderfully designed, and we thank you for your design for motherhood. We thank you for the many moms represented in this room and grandmothers, and Lord, I pray that they would be a tremendous impact on those around. God, I pray for every last one of us, that we would seek to be the kind of spiritual parents that you call us to in Titus 2, that we would love one another, that we would love the younger generation in a way that we long to see them grow up in Christ. So help us, Lord, to build those relationships that honor and glorify you. We thank you, God, for the grace that you have given in Christ, that though we are imperfect and we fall short and we fail, Lord, what has been tainted and corrupted by sin, Lord, your grace renews and restores. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.